morning, everybody. It's Jasmine Field and my incredible co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit. We are here with you this morning at a new time and a new day. So we wanted to make sure that we let you all know our new day is the second Monday of each month. So we hope you'll continue to join us at 11. Of course, we want to hear from you today like we do every show. We're going to be discussing a really awesome topic that applies to us as women in many different ways. But before we get started, I want to make sure I gave you all the toll-free number if you'd like to call in from the United States or Canada. It's 1-800-338-7060. Or feel free to email us a question at questions@gracehour.org. And of course, we're always grateful for the comments and even questions that we see on Facebook Live. So Michelle, I want to turn it over to you, but I'm going to catch you off guard a little bit. I have a question for you. Now, I'm not saying, has this ever happened? I'm trying to ask you, how many times has it happened?
Uh-oh.
As a mom following God, how many times have you said, either in your heart or out loud, this is not what I thought was going to happen?
How many days in a week times four boys times 30 years? Oh, my gosh.
Spiritual mothering is, it's a really precious topic, but it's also packed with many different elements.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to hear from you today, especially.
I'm going to answer that question. But first, we have a little announcement to make.
Oh.
The Women's Forum is May 6th at 6:30 here in the Baltimore GGWO Chapel. We're going to be talking about the same topic we're talking about today, spiritual mothering. And we're going to hear from Jenna Delgado, Sandrine Knowles, and the beautiful Monique Davis.
Oh, awesome.
We're excited about that.
I will be there.
So either come on down, meet some of the ladies, or tune in. It'll be broadcast live.
Awesome.
Now, just because I said spiritual motherhood, I know that's a knee-jerk reaction for some of you. Some of you, just the word mom sends you running. Mm. But don't tune out. All right. Don't tune off. Don't say, oh, Michelle and Jasmine are talking about motherhood and I'm not a mother, so this is not for me. Mm. Either you are a biological mother and we're going to discuss some spiritual truths that will build you up and add to your life, or you're a spiritual woman who has never been a mother, and we're going to discuss some spiritual truths that will build you up and add to your life. Either way, we're going to fill your gun today on how to apply the doctrine of spiritual motherhood to your life.
Wow.
How many times have I thought this is not how I expected it to be? A lot. A lot. I remember being a very committed Christian, did not want to even get married, thought that was not in the cards for me. I was going to be single for Jesus.
Wow.
And then Mr. Benoit came along and started saying all the right things. And oh my gosh, it was, we went to a square dance and it wasn't long before I had, I don't know, birds. I was hearing birds and I had butterflies and yep, I wanted to marry that boy. So we did, and God brought forth children, which I was surprised every single time.
Like, really?
What? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. So, but that's not what qualifies me. Having given birth does not qualify me to be a spiritual mother. This has nothing to do with biological birthing. It has everything to do with the knowledge of sound doctrine that produces faithful living. But we're going to talk about the natural. Often Dr. Stevens would say the natural response comes first and then the spiritual. And there is a natural phenomenon in our bodies if you've given birth. When you're pregnant, the cells of your baby can migrate into your mother's bloodstream, into the mother's bloodstream. It's called, and of course I looked this up on many sources, fetal maternal microchimerism.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Research has shown that if a mother's heart, a lady who's pregnant, her heart is injured, those fetal cells will rush to the site of the injury and they're stem cells. So they change into different kinds of cells that can specialize in mending the heart while you're pregnant.
That is incredible.
God, really? Wow. What you did on day six makes me cry.
Hmm.
All right. On day six, when you scraped together Eve out of a rib, you did amazing things. And after the baby is born, many of these cells stay in the mother's body, leaving a permanent imprint on her tissues, her bones, her brain, her skin, and stay there for decades.
Wow.
So the mother is the mother's body. God designed the mother's body to grow the child, and sometimes the child's body heals the mother.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that? But
oh my gosh.
Unbelievable. When Pastor Schaller said yesterday he talked to a man and the man said, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm a scientist, we all laughed, but I thought, oh my gosh, this person is spending his entire life studying what God has done.
Mm.
Whatever you study in science, it's what God has done or is doing or will do.
Mm.
So that's the perfect person to get down on their knees and thank God.
Yes.
For all that they see.
Yes.
You know, we see this one little thing, fetal, maternal, micro chimerism, and we're praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I experienced that kind of heart healing, not when I was pregnant, but just last month.
Oh,
our
yes.
son, Wesley, spent the month of March recuperating from an automobile accident. His truck got hit by a dump truck, pushed him into another vehicle, and they all went out into a field together. And Wesley, it's your birthday today, so happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday.
Not that you're watching this. I know you're at work. But honey, happy birthday. I'm so blessed by your life.
Mm.
So he was at recuperating at our home, and I was caring for him. You know, it was so fun to go buy him clothes.
I know. I actually checked in with Jason. I said, how's your mom doing? And he was like, she's loving it. She's loving that she can be taking care of my brother at this age, and she's just going after it. And I said, amazing God that you can still provide joy in such a crazy situation.
Yeah.
Only God can do that.
Yeah. Now, my son was in terrible pain, so I wasn't, of course, happy about that. But, you know, that motherhood desire, that desire to nurture flows out. And I loved making meals for him, praying for him, motivating him, distracting him while he recovered. But during the last week, he was doing physical therapy and he felt well enough to help me organize our family photos.
Mm.
I had a crisis over these family photos. I've had boxes and boxes. Please tell me I'm not the only one. Thousands of photos that I've taken of my children. And I only made one baby album. I have four boys, one album. Four boys, one album. Thousands of pictures.
You're not the only one.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not.
I brought these pictures up. I burst into tears.
I'm sure.
And I'm like, Wesley, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I never made you a baby album. But to me, it was a fresh wound.
Yes, yes,
you know?
Yes.
And he was like, Mom, I don't really need a baby album.
I know, but you know, you have that desire to make sure that every child feels special.
Yep.
So then you can say, I took the time to make it for this one baby, and I don't want you to think that you weren't as special. It's just that for every additional child you have, of course, you are busier and busier. And even yeah. my mother-in-law told me, she said, do you know when I made your husband's baby album? When he was in high school. So don't feel bad, because I went through the same thing.
Oh,
equal treatment. And she was like, Jasmine, you are busy taking care of them right now. There is time for that.
I love that. Well, I didn't even do it then. But we did organize the photos. And honestly, I had tears. I wept. And Wesley was like, what? No. He goes, Mom, you're amazing. He said the same thing. He goes, you had Kyle. Kyle, I know you're not listening, but anyone who knows Kyle loves Kyle. You can't have a party without Kyle.
Aww.
But we call him the black hole. He absorbs all time, energy, and money in our family. And we love him.
That's a nice
reputation,
Kyle.
Don't really want to change anything about you, honey. I'm so sorry. I'm really... Yeah, okay.
This is real mom talk.
Could
real
we
mom
erase
talk.
This, maybe? Sebastian!
That's okay. They all know that you love them.
I love them. I love them all. And I wouldn't change any of them.
Mm.
I love the naughty, too, and you know who you are. I love the angelic, too, and you know who you are.
Mm.
And the naughty, too, take after me. So.
Oh, that, isn't that amazing how so much of who we are we start seeing in our children? And it's become kind of this eye-opener where we say, I don't think I am who I thought I was. Lord, help me, please.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Okay, someone else, Kathy, says on Facebook, you're not the only one else with zillions of photos. She's going through, it must be spring. It must. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She's going through 40 years of photos, crying and
laughing.
Oh, my gosh. Yep,
precious,
that was the same
Kathy.
Thing. But my son, I don't know if any other child could have done this with me and had the concern and care and the sweet words that this child had for me. So I experienced that fetal maternal microchimerism. Wow. I'm engaged in the process of ministering to him, but God is using him to bring healing to my heart. Mm. Now, whether you've had a child or not, God designed women uniquely to nurture community and extend compassion. Mm-hmm. Community and compassion are characteristics of the covenant life we share in God's family, the church.
Yes.
Pastor Schaller was talking yesterday, a Sunday morning at the 9 o'clock service, about his early life in Bible college and now all that's gone on. And if you don't know it, next week marks, I think it's the 17th year anniversary of Pastor Schaller being our pastor.
Oh, so awesome.
Say something nice to the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Send him a card, an email, a text, a phone call, whatever. But my goodness, he has done a lot for us in 17 years. I am not the same person I was 17 years ago.
That's amazing.
He has built such a launch pad underneath us mm-hmm. in his study habits, his humility. So, Pastor Schaller, I know you're not listening either, but thank you. We're all so thankful.
All these
for
hidden
you.
Gems of messages for that one time that the spiritual motherhood grace hours clicked on. All these people will be edified that didn't expect it.
Well, spiritual mothering, whether you're a biological mom or not a mom at all, and if you're praying for a baby or you think it's too late, we are praying with you. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are broken with you mm-hmm. if you've miscarried or you've never conceived.
Yes.
If you're a single girl and you're watching the birthdays flip by, let's see what God will do.
Yes.
Let's see what God will do.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to reveal anything this month, but I know somebody who's getting married next month and they're getting a bonus child in the marriage.
Aww. Woo-hoo.
So on the day they get married, they get to be a wife and mom immediately.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're really happy for you, honey.
Wow.
But it's the call for all Christian women, regardless of your age, marital status, or fertility.
Mm-hmm.
God desires for us not to only create physical life, but nurture spiritual life. And the command in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply parallels the Great Commission,
mm-hmm.
right? Matthew 28, make disciples, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
Physical multiplication parallels spiritual multiplication. And all we want to do as moms, whether I'm your spiritual mom, just a friend, or a real mom, a physical mom, a biological mom, is encourage others to walk with God.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think sometimes we can really exaggerate this notion of spiritual mothering in our mind. And what it really means is that as the person who has a special care for you, I am deliberately involving God in how I take care of you and how I love you. And it sounds a little simplistic, but there's so much within that because there's definitely a self-reflection process that you have to go through as you are trying to output this love of God from you. God has a ministry to you about some things that you may need to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
Even though you have a special care for the person right in front of you or a special connection and you ask God to develop that, there's still a past that you come from and you have your own history with your own mother. And that could be a negative history or a positive history. And I love how in her book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, author Shannon Bream states that the original connection and bond between mother and child is mysterious and unique and lasts a lifetime. So think about an entire lifetime. You could be a grown woman, maybe even in your late 50s or 60s, and you still replay a hurtful memory of what happened with you and your mother. Or conversely, you could say, I remember the day that my mom gave her life to the Lord and things were so different from then on. I saw her leaning and pressing into him through the hardships of being a mom rather than maybe taking it out on me in a violent way or a hostile way. I saw the change that God produced in my mother and that left such an imprint on me. Mm-hmm. I had to go after that myself. So we never know what kind of histories our moms are coming from. And we have to really understand that as beautiful as spiritual mothering can sound to one ear, it can also bring about painful reflections of the past for another. Everyone's mothering experience that is now influencing their children or a child or person that they're taking care of, it has some sort of connection to the mothering experience that we've had ourselves. And I love that no matter what the past holds, God reminds us, I've given you a special authority from now that we're having this conversation about the kind of mother that you want to be, that I can do a new thing in you.
Beautiful.
I can do a new thing in you. But we have to be willing to address and surrender some things. And that can be the very hard part, because as we are becoming these versions of moms that God has had written for us, it can be a very harsh process, and we can have our face downcast, and we have to remember that there's no shock value with God. You know, when things come out of us that we never thought we would say, never thought we would do, you know, God is never like, now what was that about? We prayed about this. I thought you were confessing to me. What about the surrender to me? What was that? You know, God never says that. But sometimes we can forget that God has seen the entire spectrum of who we were, who we are, and who he can make us to be. Mm-hmm. And we need that encouragement that he is starting that good work in us and he is going to produce it, right? We can have that hope. And I love that encouragement, Michelle, of you even sitting down with your son after such an intense situation just happened for your entire family.
Yeah.
And it's like the ministry that you have to God, the ministry that God has to you as a mom, it has a freshness for every season. It's not just that you cleave to God when you have these little ones and you're saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. My patience is being tried. Everything in me is being tried. Even I love this example of your son being a grown man who is very capable, is in this weak state, and just knowing that he can look at you and say, God is going to work through my mom in this season of my life. He has joined this time between us right now so that even in this state, I'm still going to experience this fresh love and this fresh desire from my mom to make sure that I never forget how much she loves me. I never forget that the power of God is working through her, because that could have easily become you as a bitter mom saying, you know what, God, the fruit you're producing now, I don't want to run towards this. I'm scared. I'm fearful. This was so unexpected. But we have to be careful, because God knocks on all of those quiet doors of our heart. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, we can become these versions of ourselves that are totally focused on life circumstance rather than on the fact that God is trustworthy in developing our character. And what motherhood is now, I mean, for me, I have such young kids, so I know that this happened to you a long time ago, but I'm sure you can see a difference in the mother that you've become over time and over staying steadfast in your own pursuit of God for yourself versus when everything first started.
The most important thing for me has been to learn to build myself up. Now, when I was doing diapers and nursing and laundry was, you know, a 7-day-a-week project, no. I sometimes was reduced to writing a Bible verse on an index card, putting it in a Ziploc bag, and taping it to the shower.
Nice.
To the shower door. And just, you know, sometimes church was reduced to one thought, mm-hmm. one sentence. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I didn't want to go to church because it was like, okay, by the time I get this kid together in the car, get out of the
yes.
car, it's raining, it's pouring, he's cranky, get to church, I get my one sentence. And luckily for me, thank God, there was no internet back then. So if I didn't make the effort to come, I got nothing that week.
Okay.
Thank you, God, because I would have stayed home and missed a lot more. God really, I don't know, it's something about David and his mighty men. They didn't have it easy. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right that they were on the run, but it built unity mm-hmm. in their group, and it made them the mighty men. Those bad things that happened to them made them mighty. And David's son Solomon, the protected, pampered little prince, mm-hmm. he had no mighty men. I don't know if he had any friends at all. Yes, he was wise, and he did so well for so long, and he built the temple, and we're so blessed. Mm-hmm. And we'll see him in heaven, which is amazing. But you know what? You don't get mighty by having it easy. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and it's these things I learned to concentrate in the mother's room. Mm. When my kid was finally, the last one was finally in the nursery and I could go to service, an atomic bomb could go off and I did not veer from what Dr. Stevens was saying. It didn't matter. I didn't have to look. Mm-hmm. Someone's coughing, you know, someone they're calling the ambulance for somebody. It didn't matter. I was zoned in on the message. And it was only the craziness of the mother's room that got me there.
Yes. And you know what? I think this really speaks to the fact that there is a big difference between being a mother versus being a spiritual mother.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. And that difference is that you are constantly inviting God to inhabit all of the qualities of your character so that he can continue to shine through. Now, of course, God gives us all as moms a measure of love and desire to care for our little ones. But, and I hope I don't say this with any sense of harshness, but even if your child does motivate you or inspire you for a time, that desire is going to run out.
I'm sorry. Are you shocked, ladies?
I'm sorry. Even if they are the cutest, most precious. Oh, my gosh. I was even buckling my littlest that's going to be 3 on the 19th. I was buckling her seatbelt a couple weeks ago, and she just looked at me in the face and said, Mommy, you're the best. You take care of me. You take care of Evelyn. You take care of Noah. You're the best. And it really blessed me. But I cannot live off of that, because in the next instant, she could be hitting somebody, breaking things, having the worst attitude ever. And I need the love of God constantly being replenished inside of me so that that's the outpour. You know, I love Dr. Stevens' warning about loving out of self-energy and his message on the Grace Hour recently called Surrender Your Emotions to God. And it's something that we have to be very careful of. When you love out of self-energy, it has a timeline.
Oh, yeah.
But God's love is infinite. And so as we pursue communing with that ongoingly, that's where we can really have a ministry to our children.
So true. Our femaleness gives us the capacity for mothering, but our faith produces the characteristics for mothering. Characteristics like tenderness, generosity, compassion, protection, sacrifice are all relational in nature. You don't develop these as a teenager or a college student. They don't exist in the vacuum of individuality. But having these characteristics, and how do we get these characteristics? We look unto Jesus, mm-hmm. right? We look at what the Lord has done for us, how he suffered through all the nonsense of the disciples, mm-hmm. The things they said, the things they did, how people's reactions were to him, and yet he did not veer from the cross, mm-hmm. all right? And we're like, oh, you did that for me. The Easter play is happening starting tomorrow night.
Yes, come out, please. We'd love for you all to join us. It's at 7 p.m. Anu actually was just in Silver Spring yesterday talking to us. I didn't know he directed it, and he's going to be Jesus.
Please pray for him.
Yes, please keep the play in prayer and invite someone you know to come. It's an amazing outreach. Amazing.
So
amazing.
It's Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yes, all at 7 p.m. and it's at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Doors open at 6:30 every night.
You will be blessed.
Yes.
No one gets up out of their seat and says, oh, that was a waste of time. No. Everyone, how many times I have cried at the Easter play. Mm-hmm. All right. It's the same story. It's been the same story for 2,000 years. We know it's going to happen. But every year I cry. And every year I cry over a different part.
Yeah.
God uses that play to touch me in a way. It's unbelievable. Mm. Well, this desire to nurture, this results in us wanting the recipients of our nurturing, whether it's our own child or a friend, to have security and fruitfulness. That's all we want. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fix you,
right.
Friends.
Right.
Adult children of mine.
Michelle, your adult kids are going to listen to this in a year from now and be like, hey, Mom, let's talk about that Grace Hour from April.
Oh, something happened with Jason the other day, and I laughed, and then he said to me, Mom, you're not going to tell your friends about this, are you? Well, luckily, my memory is fading. So probably half the funny things that happen now, I forget.
Aww.
So guys, please pray for me and forgive me. I love you. Hey, I cook for you guys. So we can all rejoice and forget about what I said and have something. Oh, never mind. Okay. Biological birthing is not the activator of this capacity to nurture. In the book of Luke, Mary and Elizabeth are encouraging each other, and they're both pregnant, but they're not mothers yet.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi is encouraged and supported by Ruth, but Ruth is not a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's just been in this small little body of Christ, we could say, this small little group church, a family church. And she must have seen what Naomi did. And then when Naomi was in trouble, she turned around and did it to her.
Mm.
Again, this fetal maternal microchimerism, we see that it must have happened between Ruth and Naomi. It's beautiful.
Mm.
But in her book that I'm recommending this month, Spiritual Mothering,
mm-hmm.
and I'll put a picture of it on Facebook, it's written by Susan Hunt. This is a new cover. It's a 20-year reprint?
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote a new foreword to it. And she said, actually, after 20 years, she goes, I don't want to change a thing. Everything in there is what I wanted to say.
Wow.
And if you see my book, I've got sticky notes galore here in this mm-hmm. book, underlining galore. It was Debbie, thank you for giving me that book 2 years ago. I finally read it. Thank you. It's amazing. But she says, spiritual mothering is when a woman possessing faith and spiritual maturity enters into a nurturing relationship with a younger woman or child in order to encourage and equip her to live for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bring glory to God? Whether you're a biological mom or a spiritual mom, Jesus tells us in John 17:4. He's talking to the Father and he says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
Wow.
That's it in a nutshell.
I love it. I love it because it reminds you it is not all on you to do this. You are not holy. You need God. You are not ever loving. You need God. You do not forgive easily. You need God. You know, we can put so much pressure on ourselves as moms, especially I think a lot of Christian moms do this. You know, we come in, there's so much comparison, even though there shouldn't be. And we're looking at people's kids. We're looking at each other's bodies. We're looking at each other's temperaments. And sometimes I think that we are drawing a lot of conclusion from our own perception.
Mm.
And what's more important to remember is that every mom that you're around could use encouragement.
Mm.
Every mom that you're around has some sort of story, some sort of current battle, something that really has weakened their heart, something maybe they're battling in their faith. And we are all specifically given our specific children because God has something that he wants to teach us through them. And because he knows that those kids need me to be their mom. That is the mystery. I don't always know why. I don't always agree with some things that I see, but I am not that mom. Those are not my kids. And the call of God is still very active, even if I don't understand. And I think that this is something we really have to remember. It's about God. We have this position, but that doesn't mean, okay, God, you've given me these kids, so now we're going to have this healthy separation because I got this now. You know, even in this book, this is a book that I'm actually finishing now, and I've recommended it before, The End of Me. Liz Wan, when I watched an interview from her, she said, this is actually a book for the woman who says, after her friends say, hey, don't worry about it. You got this. How you actually feel is, no, I don't got this. I don't. And it's okay to say that. You know, we don't have to have these strong-minded temperaments all the time when we think about our kids. Actually, it's God who can do the most when we humble ourselves and say, Lord, this is so far beyond me. I love these children, and I want to be in your call, but I need daily lessons of how to do this. And even when we look at 1 Corinthians 15:31, where Paul confesses the hardship in dying daily, we think about that. When we say, you know what, I'm sacrificing a lot. This isn't the plan that I had for myself. God keeps showing me how different his plan is from mine. And I think in a way we kind of have to make ongoing peace with it because women are so capable. We're so capable. And sometimes choosing to lay things down, it's a huge, huge sacrifice for us. And we say, God, is this what you want? Because you're going to have to help me work through this. This is not at all what I foresaw happening. But that death, it's not just about a sadness or a sobering. There's such resurrection life after it. Because God is saying, I am producing this quality in you, rooted in me now. We have to uproot some things. If you've connected the way you love to these statements or negative memories from your past, we got to uproot that. I have some new things to show you. I'm doing a new thing. If you have some things that have been living in your heart that you've never dealt with, and maybe when you became pregnant, you had these notions that when you held your precious baby, it wasn't going to matter anymore. It was all just going to fall away. I remember looking down at my son after a week of him coming home. He wouldn't latch on to feed, and he cried endlessly. And I remember having this very sobering thought, this baby is going to take me out. He's going to take me out. And I never once thought about being a mom in that way. But instead of being angry with him, I remember saying, okay, Jasmine, this only means that God is showing you now. He is opening your eyes now that you do not separate yourself from him. Because that's the only way that you're going to get through this and not get through it in a way where he's taking care of, the needs are met, now I can do my own thing. No, now this is God starting this lesson for me about understanding that what he had planned for me as a mom is going to be an ongoing development process. And the condition is that I constantly ask him to help me surrender. I need your help to surrender. God, if you're going to be resurrecting these qualities inside of me, I need your help because I'm readjusting the center focus of my motherhood. I'm taking it off of people, off of the past, off of circumstance, and I'm replacing it with you. I'm not sure how to do this after I've made that decision, but I have to trust that you'll show me, and I'm creating a space for you every week, if you can, every day, for you to show me more about what this decision means. Definitely difficult, but so worth it.
Well, you know, sacrifice.
Yes.
God's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have said when he came to the earth, wow, this is not what I expected. Never mind, you know. But I love what you're saying about adjustment, adjusting to this person, adjusting to this child. Elizabeth Elliot wrote a beautiful book about Amy Carmichael, and the title of the book is A Chance to Die. And Amy Carmichael, who wrote all these incredible, ethereal, beautiful Christian poems, most of the time was clipping little Indian children's toenails and fingernails.
Wow.
She opened up an orphanage against the advice of everybody, and it was just so God, because it's still running today. The Donover Orphanage is still happening in India today. And she started it. She had no idea the trauma these young girls had had happened to them. And she said, this was my chance. You know, here I am, this great missionary. Everyone's at home praying and supporting me. And I'm, you know, cleaning ears and clipping toenails.
Wow.
But, you know, it was the foundation that her death, her death to self,
yes,
not her physical death, which happened many, many, many years later, you know, laid the foundation. It made a safe place for these children to grow. And so many of them came back and to work as teachers and nannies in that same orphanage.
Wow.
So thousands of children now, adults now, can say they can trace their salvation and their way of living to Amy Carmichael.
That is incredible.
And that's what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, the first thing is the foundation. And we lay down our lives to make that foundation.
Yes, completely. And, you know, I think about how precious it would be if we really became a living verse for our children. And I think about 2 Corinthians 3:3, where we read, they can see you are a letter from Christ,
wow,
written by us. It is not a letter written with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not one carved on stone, but in human hearts. How precious would it be? And I'm not saying this is without mess and without some failures, but even beyond that, when your children see how you continue to pursue God no matter what's going on, there's something about you that continues to draw them. They are sensing the presence of God in you at work. Mm-hmm. And isn't that amazing that our children can say one day to us, you were my letter.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Christ in your life so much through tears, through failures, even through things that maybe you wish you could forget happened.
It's amazing.
But you continue to pursue God. You, mom, you, spiritual mom, are my letter. Because even when children are not biological, when you go into that kind of relationship with someone, you are really asking to dig into some personal areas. And maybe you have a word of correction, a word of warning for them. Maybe you tell them things they don't want to hear sometimes for the betterment of their walk, you know? But later down the line, that's only a reflection of the authenticity of Christ.
So good.
And that's what we need.
So good.
That's what we need from our spiritual mom.
I love that. You know, it says in Proverbs 31, her children will rise up and call her blessed. And I'm blessed that your daughter had a kind word for her, for you.
Yes.
But for most of us, that's at our funeral.
Oh.
All right. So it's my aim to have a really good funeral.
Yeah.
All right.
I have thought about that before. What will be said?
Yeah.
Like what will be said after it's all said and done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're mad at your husband. What are you going to say at his funeral?
Mm-hmm.
I had that thought one day and I burst into tears, thinking, even though my husband drives me crazy over the little crazy non-issues.
Yeah, yes.
Like his slippers are someplace different every day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I take my slippers off. They go by the chair in my bedroom right there on the right. They're always there. I can find them in the dark. Every day my husband gets up and says, where are my slippers?
Aww.
It's just like, oh my gosh. Am I going to focus on that?
Right.
Is that what I'm going to make the tone of our relationship be?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to think about what I'm going to say at his funeral, that it was an honor to be married to Ron Benoit.
Yes.
And I want to show him God's love.
Right.
Well, many of us are overwhelmed by the complexity of life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried to remember a password to an account?
You mean one of my 8 or 9 passwords? Which one am I doing?
I've got
what
like
am I doing right
800.
Now?
It's unbelievable. And many of us are floundering because we don't have a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's set it. God is the reference point of our lives.
Yes.
I want to do this thing. Okay. Does God want me to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And let's make God's glory the goal of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Mary did that.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord came to her, she's this young, unmarried girl. And the Lord dumps this thing in her lap. Hey, girl.
Guess what?
You want to be a king's mom? It's like, ooh, does a palace come with that? No, a stable. A stable. If there's anyone that could have been surprised at motherhood, it was Mary. If you read the verse where the angel is talking to her 3 times, he references the kingship, the kingdom, the ruling of her child. So I would have thought, well, wow, this is going to be awesome. We're going to have the cutest palace and I want a little swimming pool in the back. No, she didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get that. But she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. She got a stable.
Yes.
You know, how many of us look on Airbnb to find a stable that we could sleep in? No one does this.
Right.
But God did that.
Right.
And then if he had told her how this was going to be.
Yes. Right.
Okay. So all your, I'm sorry, you don't complain. I'm the only one here that does that. All of our surprise and wait a minute. I did not sign up for this is really what God surprises us with to kind of break open our heart.
Yeah. I think he has to have a moment with us where he says, I have to cut through the concepts.
So good.
I have to, because there's too much within this that I have to teach you.
So good. cutting through the concepts. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. We have a great comment here on Facebook by Jerry. A young lady said recently in our Bible study that she got saved because she wanted what her mother had.
Wow.
That is inspiring.
Walking
comment.
Letter. That mother must have been a walking letter.
Thank
Amazing.
You so much.
Yes. It's so true. You know, God has so much to share with us. And as it becomes personal for us, people see that in our life and they trust it because it's not this beautiful, unattainable thing. It's real life of you being on your knees, crying those tears and saying, God, I want to be like you in my mothering. Help me do this.
So good. Monique has said on Facebook, it's important to remember that before we're available to invest or nurture anyone, we must first receive our vertical with God. We
yes.
totally agree with you, Monique.
Yes.
She says,
yes.
God is the only one who knows what each person needs, whether it's a child, a younger woman in the body of Christ, perhaps even senior women. It's about Christ meeting the need.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be willing and available vessels that he can use.
Yes.
Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. It's so, so true.
We want to talk about glorifying God by finishing the work he's given us to do. What does God tell women to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul told Titus in Titus 2, verse 3 and 5. Now, this goes for moms who are biological moms and ladies who are spiritual moms. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. These are the virtues that God said would give clarity and distinction to the lives of Christian women living in ungodly surroundings. There's four things we're going to consider, but I don't know about you. We all know there's a war in the Ukraine, and we're praying
yes.
like mad for God to intervene somehow, mm-hmm. to break hearts, to change things.
Yes.
We have lovely believers in our Russian churches. We know your hearts are broken. We have amazing believers in our four Ukrainian churches. We know your hearts are broken. But I've been following two women on Facebook and seeing their lives, Rhonda and Maya. Every morning after I have my time with the Lord and my cup of tea, I want to go check and see how these ladies are doing and praying for them. You ladies are really the Titus 2 ladies. Mm. And in a difficult, pressurized, we can't even imagine, air raid sounds going off, bombs, all the things that are happening, that you ladies are ministering love and grace and
yes.
mercy to those around you.
Yes.
Well done, good and faithful servants.
Mm. Mm. I remember Pastor Schiavelli said once in one of his messages, he said, no matter what the circumstance going on, no matter what it is, where you are, what's happening, it is very important for you to learn how you and God can still be pursuing each other.
Beautiful.
And it's so true. It's so true, because as we embark on different seasons as moms, ones that really can catch us off guard, or even maybe even God connecting some of the women in the church with a young lady and really pressing on their heart, invest in them. They need you. You're not going to understand it all. I'm giving you a special conviction to build something with that girl. Don't let her leave.
I love that.
You know, like God is doing so many things and letting us in to help his plan develop. And we can think, you know, maybe because mothering didn't happen for us in this way, our chance is gone. You know,
oh, no.
But God has so much in every season of your development as a believer. You never know how the love that he's put in you can overflow and enrich the life of someone else who could be truly seeking what it means to be loved by God.
So beautiful. Well, it says older women have to have these four qualifications. Ladies, they don't just happen when you hit 50. On your 50th birthday, you open a present and, oh, you have these four qualities.
Yeah.
Ladies, start now. Start now. If you're 12, start now. Number one, be reverent in the way that they live. So number one sets us up with this vertical call. Mm-hmm. That how can we be reverent? We can be phony.
With no type of effort at all.
I can look good for an hour, you know. I can look good for an hour on my own effort. Mm-hmm. But, man, that's about all it's going to be.
Oh, yes,
definitely. You know, I have some high heels that I can only wear to church. I can get out of the car, walk in, walk around the church, sit down, get up, go to the cafe, get out. And, oh, my gosh, those shoes come right off.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
I can't wear those shoes grocery shopping.
Well, we know how to dress things up sometimes because I think we like to hide.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like to have that walking vulnerability inside of us. We don't like for other people to know that we don't know sometimes. Sometimes we're a mess. Sometimes we feel defeated. And especially as a Christian woman, you know, people can say things that really discourage you. You really need to strengthen your faith.
Oh.
I thought you were a believer. I didn't know you got sad. You get sad? Aren't you a Christian?
Oh, my gosh. Oh
some
my gosh.
Things are just so shocking. Oh, you forget that I'm a person, too. I'm a person first, actually.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Everybody can be a comforter. Not everybody can be a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sometimes, ladies, just shut up.
Nope.
I'm so sorry.
Oh.
You can think those kind of thoughts, like, really? She's wearing those pants? Really, wearing that skirt, it doesn't do them any good for you to say anything.
Yes.
About them, their children, their hair, their whatever, their husband. Pray for them.
Yes.
I've had the very dearest, closest friends wear something that was inappropriate to church. And I was like, oh, God, it must be my responsibility to say something. And God's like, nope.
Right.
Nope.
I'm God.
Say
you
nothing.
You are her friend.
Say nothing. Be a comforter. We can all be a comforter. We can all distract somebody.
Yes.
From their whining child.
Yes. And remember, you don't always know what you're seeing. That could have been I just couldn't get to the laundry. I chose to do this instead because my kids really needed me. So I just went ahead and laid down my life. I know I look crazy, but guess what? My kids know that I love them because I sacrificed something for them. And so before you come and judge me, think about the fact that I really could use your prayers because I don't always look like this, do I?
I love that.
You know?
Let's not let frogs come out of our mouth. How about butterflies?
Mm.
All right? And we can see things. Yeah, we're smart. We are savvy. Our eyes are going all the time. We're evaluating. We're judging. But it's not always good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always God. And it may be a fact, but it's not always the truth.
Right.
Let's build someone up. Let's distract them.
Yes. And remember, at some point in time, that was probably you.
You just didn't know it.
Like, let's not forget where you came from, what happened. You may think, okay, you know, I've grown from this place. We are all susceptible to going back to a bad habit. We're all susceptible to having a bad day, a rough patch in our walk. You don't know what you're looking at. So you know what? Just like is mentioned in The End of Me, I love how Liz Wan says, we have to mother with eyes of faith.
Mm, so beautiful.
Look at that woman and be a support to her, a spiritual support to her, and ask God to cover her in ways that you can't and maybe ways you don't even know about.
You know, someone tells you they're engaged, they're getting married, and you're not happy with who they're choosing, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray.
Mm-hmm.
If this is not the person for them, Lord, I love them so much. I want them to have a fruitful, happy marriage. I don't know about this guy, but just pray. Don't say anything.
Mm.
Don't be one of those girls.
That's difficult.
All right? Just pray and love, and maybe God, maybe this isn't the person, and God will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wanted me to marry Ronald Benoit. I got some phone calls.
Really?
And oh my gosh, I think next week is our anniversary, honey. Happy anniversary, although he's not listening, he never will. So number one, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Love, love, love. We reach up, we get God's love, and that is how we become a reverent woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an act. It's not where your hemline falls. It's not how tight your pants are. It's love.
Right.
That what comes out of your mouth is love.
Mm.
Don't be slanderers, okay? Now we've got this horizontal thing going on. We reach up to God. We get love, our vertical call. Now don't be slanderers. Mm. Control your tongue. Learn to be gracious.
Yes.
What do you say about other women behind their backs? Have you listened to yourself sometimes?
Oh, man.
I have done it.
Yeah.
I have done it, and yeah. I'm just begging God to make me that Proverbs 31 woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, mm-hmm. and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Yes. And you know, a lot of times, the truth of the matter is, Michelle, when we need to talk about someone in a negative way ongoingly, it is a light being shown on our own insecurities.
Yeah.
That's what's really doing the talking. It makes me feel better to say this about her because I have this issue within me and God has not dealt with it completely yet. So you're hearing it, hopefully with me being in the process of surrendering it to him. But sometimes we don't even realize that we are functioning in this state of envy or jealousy or constant mm-hmm. comparison because maybe that person, their life and who they are, it adds a pressure to me.
Mm.
They're not doing that on purpose. They're just being who they're supposed to be. But sometimes, and this is for every single woman and every single mom, who you are puts pressure on someone. It's just how it goes in the mindset because people naturally say, I'm not this. I wish I was that. I wish I could have the peace that she has. I wish people responded to me the way that she did. I wish I had her confidence. Again, you don't see everything. And if you see this version of a person that you forget, God could have taken them on an amazing journey. And what you're seeing is the glory of God.
Mm,
you know?
Beautiful.
And it's really beautiful. Important for us. You know, we don't have to be taught how to look down on someone. We don't have to be taught mm-hmm. how to look negatively, but we do need to have a deliberate way of thinking, God, something in my heart just said something to her. Maybe I didn't go up to her necessarily, but all the way from this parking lot, my eyes are judgmentally assessing and I'm creating all of these things. And it is not of your spirit. It is not.
True.
And I need your help.
Ladies, please, we're not saying anything to you that we haven't said in the mirror to ourselves.
Right. I'm not saying this from the mouth of perfect Jasmine.
Oh.
I'm talking to myself, guys.
Yeah, there are so many mornings where I have just stood in front of the mirror and said, shut up, Michelle.
Yeah.
Just shut up, Michelle.
And I've wanted to pay people compliments before, and there's been something in me that's held back. And I've been like, Lord, why can't I just support her? And God has whispered, because you wish you could do what she did, and you can't.
Yeah.
And it's okay, Jasmine. You don't have to have every skill and every talent in the world. That's not how I designed you.
Mm.
You know? So when you have a real love for her, it's going to be because you've taken that envy inside of you or that jealousy about her talent or her quality. And you've said, God, I need you to take something. I don't have your hands. I don't have your thoughts. I need you to make something of this where I can look at her and have an outpour of love for her. You know, that's what I want you to turn this into.
Beautiful.
You know,
beautiful. Joanne Smith on YouTube has said a beautiful way, rather than saying shut up, to say study to be quiet.
Oh, that is a much nicer way.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number three, not addicted to much wine. Now we've got an inner call about our conduct. What are we doing in secret? Are you drinking? Mm. Are you? Really? Why? Why? You know, sometimes all of life can be reduced down to two things, what comes out of your mouth and what goes into your mouth.
Mm.
And addiction is enslavement. You're avoiding issues that God is sitting there at your kitchen table waiting to talk to you about.
Yeah.
But you're covering up with a glass of wine, with a piece of chocolate or 17 pieces of chocolate
mm-hmm.
or drugs
mm-hmm.
or gambling
mm-hmm.
or overspending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the enslavement. We can only have one master,
right?
Either this addiction or God.
Yes.
And if you are addicted to something, you need help, call our counseling department, Pastor mm-hmm. Hadley, Pastor Jason, amazing counselors and friends.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen it all. They're not going to be surprised by whatever you open your purse and pour on their desk.
Mm.
And we want you to grow in self-control, productivity, and discipline.
Yes.
Godliness, godly living gives authenticity to our faith. It presents a spiritual reality to the world that will penetrate the darkness of this age.
Mm-hmm. It's so true, Michelle. Sometimes we think, I'm in a pit that's so deep, God doesn't even want to look at me. You know, I walk around and I have this personification of I'm this, I'm that, but God knows what I'm sneaking out of my purse.
Yeah.
And you know what? Again, there is no shock value. If anything, his heart is breaking. because what you're saying is, look, I know you're God, and I know I'm Christian, and I know that I'm supposed to be pursuing real faith, but I don't think really at the end of this one, I'm going to be okay if I take this to you. I don't trust you in that way. Sorry.
Temper can be an addiction where we are screaming and hollering and we say, no, no, that child, that situation, it just came out of me. No, you made a decision.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It seems like a microsecond, but it's a habit that you, and I was a screamer. So, yep, it happens. I know. Number four, teach what is good. Now we've taken God's love. We speak kindly to those around us. We have this inner authenticity because of our conduct. And now we model and communicate the content. In John 1:39, Jesus started teaching the disciples and all he said was, come and see. A few seconds later, a few days later, if you read the verses, it's John 1:46. Philip says to Nathaniel, come and see. We can say, come and see to other people too. And in all of the ways Paul could have told women to combat the decadence of their culture, he told them to invest their energies in training younger women to live in their society. Why? Because the reputation of the Word of God is at stake. Titus 2:5, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. So, ladies, your behavior is a pivotal issue.
Yes. I like that this focuses on the fact that spiritual mothering is learned. It is not something that we just know how to do. Even if we have these ideas of what it means to be a spiritual mom, we need to go into any form of motherhood with a humility that God does have the final say on what I am supposed to be doing, what I am supposed to be learning, and how I'm supposed to be thinking towards this. It's not fair to put this pressure on yourself that you're supposed to just know it all and be perfect at it and make sure that you are the one that everyone admires. God is not looking for that. And if you need that bad, then that's a huge exposure about the fact that there's something living in your heart that does need to be surrendered. But a lot of times, because of what we're around, it's like looked down upon if you need to learn something. But we have women in our church, we have friends that are listening ears waiting to say, hey, guess what? Feel free to fail. Feel free to fail here.
And come and tell me about it.
Yes.
We'll have tea and we'll pray.
Yes, because greater is he that is in you.
And later we'll laugh.
Yes.
Because your failure, it was already there.
Right, exactly.
Okay, the vacuum was already there.
Right.
What are we supposed to teach? Love. All right. Now, our culture is filled with female images of rom-com movies, you know, the joy of the wedding, the joy of the baby. But we're also filled with divorce and abortion.
Yep.
Love does not come naturally. It's a spark. It's a firecracker. It's lovely. And then it's gone. Sometimes by the end of the honeymoon.
Yep.
All right. So we want to be lovers of God and lovers of each other.
Yes.
Don't forget, we've got the Women's Forum May 6th at 6:30 p.m. here in Baltimore and live online. We're going to talk more about spiritual mothering.
I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. God bless you. We will be in prayer for every mom we know and every mom within the body. God can do amazing things through you. Don't forget. We love you guys. See you next time.